show your mean, mean pride.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Sorry about the adaptation. We thought we were not going to connect with Julio. We connected with him just enough for me to say, hey, man, you ready? He's like, yeah, let's go. So that's where we're at. Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, heard on Saturdays here on News Radio 92.3, and also the host of the Pensacola Movie Club. You can follow them on Facebook and get together with them and talk about movies that you've watched. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. All right, so what's new for this weekend?
Well, the big movie this weekend is probably going to be Kung Fu Panda 4. Yes, we're four of these now.
Yeah, well, the first one was outstanding, and even the second one was pretty good, but they have followed the pattern of all the other series, I think, so other than Toy Story, basically.
Yeah. I mean, you're getting decent reviews on this. I mean, the series is not a bad series.
Right.
You know, you're going to have, a big panda doing martial arts and acting goofy and saying skadoosh a lot because it's Jack Black.
That's right.
In this one, Poe is about to ascend to this new spiritual level, but he's got to find a replacement for himself and he's got to train the replacement. And you can kind of imagine how that goes based on the series of movies we've seen so far. It'll be lots of goofy, ridiculous stuff happening, and then everything will get pulled together at the end. I'm guessing.
Just theorizing, speculation from you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Awkwafina co-starring in this, and she's always really lots of fun too. So getting pretty good reviews, running about 71% on that.
I mean, a great actress and a great voice actress as well. Such a distinctive voice. Imaginary, I think, is another new one.
Yeah, I have been dreading this trailer every time it comes on because this movie just looks terrible. It's one of these Blumhouse PG-13 jump scare horror movies about a kid who's got an imaginary friend that's just, very like worn out, made to look as spooky as possible teddy bear.
Of course.
And that's driving her to do, things like hurt herself. And, it's like, I'm not big on, putting kids in danger to begin with.
Right.
It can be effective, but everything about this movie just looks terrible, and the reviews are bearing it out. It's running 29%.
Oh, 29%. Don't need to watch it. Cabrini, are we getting that?
Yes, Cabrini is the best-reviewed movie of the weekend. This one's running about 84% on Rotten Tomatoes, and this is about an Italian immigrant in the late 1800s in New York City who goes up against the mayor to try to get, fair housing and care taken for, people who are less fortunate. So this is a very inspirational story and driven by apparently a fantastic lead performance. So, again, running about 84% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, nice. And Love Lies Bleeding, are we getting that?
We are unfortunately not. I am very much looking forward to seeing that movie. It's getting great reviews, but it has not opened here in Pensacola yet.
Okay. We'll talk about it next week.
So hopefully we'll get that soon. And, of course, we've got the Oscars on Sunday, too. So, obviously there's going to be a lot going on with that as well.
Never heard of them. What are you guys going to watch next week, Julio?
Not sure yet, but as soon as we know, it will be up in our Facebook.
Very good. Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturday here on News Radio and the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook. As always, Julio, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
8:15 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Coming up next, the Transgressors Memorial Service, the late service. If you missed the early service, we always have two. Your chance to find out what got canceled this week. Seen through the voice of a woke pastor named Andrew McKay, or Brother Andrew, I guess is the name that he goes by. Jake's got our traffic on the fives. Jake?
All right, if you're on East Burgess Road getting by West Florida High School, we're going to see our normal morning slowdown with the school zone there. And Avalon Boulevard, if you're headed south toward I-10, right as you're going to get onto I-10 eastbound, we have a vehicle crash with roadblock there from earlier. Still got things pretty slow getting through that area. Otherwise, around town, we're looking pretty good. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre looks good. Highway 29 south through Cantonment and Inslee is now clear. And if you're coming out of Milton on Highway 90, we're looking good there. If you see anything else out there on our roadways slowing you down, let me know on our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Council on Aging West Florida, third annual Kites on the Coast, comes up at Casino Beach March 15th through the 17th. Always a great event. You can find out more at newsradio923.com. Men Who Cook, I am cooking along with my son. We're always in this, the 11th annual. This year it's at Blue Wahoo Stadium. So going to be a little bit different venue, but all kinds of fun. And, man, that is just a great feat. It really is. And also the Gulf Breeze Arts Festival is coming up March 23rd and 24th, Gulf Breeze Community Center. So lots of things going on. Stick around and come and meet us and hang out and talk about all the cool things that we have to do in this town.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows southern weather is unpredictable, and our Energy Star windows and doors will keep the heat in and the cold outside where it belongs. We prioritize keeping your family and your home comfortable all year round. Energy efficient products made, installed, and guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
When you buy more, you can save more. Visit newsouthwindow.com.
New South proud.
Exciting news, the data revolution is on the rise once again. Data Revolution is seeking a second-tier engineer with at least 2 to 3 years of experience in IT, networks, voice over IP, and cybersecurity. Data Revolution's competitive salary is based on experience, and their comprehensive benefit packages include a medical stipend, matching 401k, flexible work hours, starting with 3 weeks of PTO, 10 paid holidays, profit sharing, and more. This is not remote or work from home. To learn more about this opportunity, send your resume to resume@datarevs.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Veterans Affairs Secretary Dennis McDonough for his inexplicable refusal to protect women in the workplace. It all began when Assistant Secretary of Health for Operations Rima Ann Nelson composed a memo ordering all VA facilities to remove the infamous photograph VJ Day in Times Square, which, as we all know, depicts an American sailor aggressively kissing a dental assistant in New York City after the announcement that Japan had surrendered in World War II. As Secretary Nelson so powerfully wrote, quote, "This action is prompted by the recognition that the photograph, which depicts a non-consensual act, is inconsistent with the VA's no-tolerance policy towards sexual harassment and assault," end quote. Apparently, some employees had complained about feeling discomfort from the menacing photo and its tacit endorsement of unwanted male-on-female sexual violence. The Assistant Secretary requested alternative pictures be found that equally captured the spirit of victory and peace without, quote, "compromising the VA's commitment to a safe and respectful environment," end quote. But what should have been a great celebration of cancellation has now become an opportunity for the patriarchy and its tolerance of rape culture to reassert dominance as Secretary McDonough tersely vetoed the change, saying on Twitter X, "Let me be clear, this image is not banned from VA facilities, and we will keep it in VA facilities." Now, it's true that some have claimed this photo should be understood as simply representing an unrestrained jubilation at the end of an atrocious war rather than as a sexual encounter. But I ask you, did he grab a fellow sailor to dip and smooch? And if he had instead grabbed a man, would that have ended so well for him? Of course not, because a man would have been capable of fighting back. Some have even gone so far as to claim that the woman seems to be complying with him, perhaps even enjoying the moment and the lustful attention she's receiving. And even though the actual woman in the photograph has said she did not feel violated because she thought it was just a moment of celebration and that he had chosen her because he was so grateful to nurses who took care of the wounded, don't you understand how that doesn't matter at all? We don't ask victims whether they feel like victims. We will decide who's been victimized and tell them they have been. Our movement forever reserves the right to read back into historical events violations which were never present at the time. And now that we have sufficiently taught women that they are always victims, it is, of course, obligatory upon us to remove any of the trauma prompts which might trigger this newly discovered heightened sensitivity to everything around them. So both for the photograph itself and for that lackey of the patriarchy, Dennis McDonough, we cast thee out. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, Spanish Army Corporal Roberto Perdigones and her 41 formerly male fellow soldiers stationed in the North African city of Ceuta, who are making a mockery of the global transgender community, one of the four founding member groups of the Holy Acronym String, I remind you. I say her for Roberto despite the fact that she is clearly engaged in what can only be called a cruel joke. But because I am obligated to always identify trans women as they tell me to identify them, I'm compelled to refer to Corporal Perdigones as she. In 2022, the Spanish government passed a law allowing anyone over the age of 14 to change gender identity without medical or psychiatric evaluation. The Spanish military had also decided to incentivize the enlistment of women by offering them a 15% higher salary, a higher pension, and a 15% pay bonus for being mothers, all as a form of positive discrimination. As a result, Corporal Perdigones and her 41 companionettes, who were identified male at birth, have all chosen to re-identify as women to receive the better pay. Perdigones herself also petitioned for a private bathroom and private living quarters, which she received, and is seeking a rehearing over the custody of her son now that the court will have to consider her rights as a mother. As Miss Perdigones told the Spanish newspaper El Español, quote, "On the outside, I feel like a heterosexual man, but on the inside, I am a lesbian," end quote. Photographs do at least confirm the first part. Interior lesbianism is notoriously difficult to capture on film. Now look, I certainly know that I must never, ever, ever question the sincerity of someone who claims gender asylum as a trans person under any circumstances, but surely we can all agree that she is doing this out of a callous, selfish desire for personal gain with no regard to the harm done to our noble cause of gender anarchy. Most of the 41 soldiers aren't even shaving their beards and have undergone no gender reassignment surgeries at all. They're simply exploiting a loophole and making our cause look foolish. This abusive use of logic that reveals the absurdity of our policies should not be allowed. How dare they make our views look so silly? Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Finally, our greatest praise for the makers of Lyle's Golden Syrup, a British company who's been making sticky sweet liquids since 1883. Yes, after 141 years using the same logo, which features a lion's dead body with honey and some bees in the middle, the company has decided to change the image and the accompanying phrase away from the Bible story involving Samson, which says, "Out of the strong came forth sweetness." Even though the old logo holds the Guinness World Record for the oldest brand, James Whiteley, the company's branding director, says the new design brings Lyle's into the modern day, appealing to the everyday British household while still feeling nostalgic. The new logo will feature a lion's head and a single bee, and of course will no longer contain a quotation from that infamous tome of oppression, the Bible. What we love about this move is the way it completely abandons tradition and Christianity without having to come in response to any identifiable complaint whatsoever. Apparently, no one asked for this change, but the company did it all on its own. And how can we tell it's a good decision? Because Christians all over the United Kingdom are expressing their disappointment with it. Surely you remember your basic von Klosthaler. If you ever aren't sure about the right course of action, just do whatever irritates straight white Christian men the most and you cannot go wrong. Yes, the change for the sake of change, abandoning an iconic brand that offended no one just for the sake of perceived virtue signaling credit, and separating a modern company from the historical legacy of its founder's strong religious beliefs. What more could we ever ask for in an aspiring recipient of certified wokeosity? Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
As you depart today, please keep in mantra those homebound members of our congregation who made the unwise choice to watch Katie Britt's Republican response to the State of the Union address last night. Being forced to hear from an actual person who talked about the same real-life issues we're all facing regularly was very traumatic to them after that inspiring series of fables President Biden spun so eloquently. Even seeing him not engage in his routine bingo phrases like, "Come on, man," "Extreme MAGA," and "I'm Jill's husband," was small consolation against the trauma of having to hear so much painful truth about our beloved leader from the junior senator from Alabama. Refreshments this week are provided by Unholy for Holies, maker of authentic Tex-Mex snack cakes fashioned exclusively from a proprietary blend of organic non-GMO pinto bean curd and Mexican free-tailed bat guano harvested from the caves of Central America. Try an Unholy for Holies cake today. It'll turn your world upside down.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
And again, I just want to remind you that I don't make up the stories. The VA story and the Spanish soldier story, 100% factual. These things actually happened or almost happened. Jake has got our traffic on the fives. Jake?
Well, I'm not really seeing anything on our roadways to report at the moment. I-10 and I-110 are at posted speeds. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is flowing smoothly. If you're coming out of Milton this morning on Highway 90 through Pace, not seeing anything slowing you down. Chase Street, Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox, all checking in clear. If you do see anything out there on our roadways slowing us down, let us know on our traffic tip line. Call or text 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The trial of a Michigan father charged in connection with a deadly school shooting carried out by his teenage son continues. James Crumbly's communications from jail have now been limited to only his lawyer. He is accused of making threats from behind bars as he stands trial for involuntary manslaughter in the 2021 Oxford High School shooting that left four people dead. The Arnold Palmer Invitational is underway now in Orlando. This week's PGA Tour event taking place at Arnold Palmer's Bay Hill Club and Lodge. Shane Lowry was the leader after the first round at 6 under par. And daylight savings time is this weekend. That'll be welcome for most, I think. Most people will be springing forward across the country Saturday night, Sunday morning. Clocks go forward at 2 a.m. on Sunday. I'll be ready for more daylight. How about you?
No, except that we lose an hour. I mean, you know, this is they rob you of the hour. They rob you in April or March in order to pay you in November or whatever. And we're never going. People always ask me, well, what's going on in Congress? Are they going to go to permanent daylight time? No. Despite us having passed it in Florida, despite our both senators being on board with the idea, they can't find a House sponsor for it. Nobody cares. Matt Gaetz doesn't care. Nobody else cares. They're not willing to take it up. And so it's a moot issue. That's it. Until we get, I mean, if Matt leaves to run for governor and then somebody else gets in there, who cares? Maybe theoretically, but no, it'll never, ever, ever get fixed at this rate.
Well, thanks for the optimism.
Yeah, no, I like to give you good news on a Friday, if I had it. 828 on News Radio 92.3. Hey, coming up in a minute, we're going to have the wrap. Got Josh Newby, good friend Josh Newby, and okay friend Mike Kimbrell here in studio with me. We'll talk about all kinds of stuff. Mike's here in studio. He's laughing at that, so which is appropriate. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, this is kind of an odd story. Just one of those... It's a bad story, but it's okay, here's the deal. You have all of these sunken ships from particularly like World War One, World War Two, particularly World War Two, that have steel. And as you know, scrap metal is valuable. So what's happening is people are going and they're taking these shipwrecks and they're scrap stripping sunken World War Two of their valuable steel. You say, is it really worth that much? Well, yes, here's why. It's not just the steel per se, you know, steel is valuable, but it's that, and pardon me, but this is just outside of my science knowledge. The article I was reading said, because of atomic bomb testing in World War II, every bit of steel made after World War II has actually a kind of a contamination level of background radiation to it, which doesn't mean anything for you or me. It's not a health hazard. But for highly specialized medical instrumentation that needs that to not exist, finding completely uncontaminated steel is extremely useful. So they're actually going into these shipwrecks in order to pillage the steel, in order to provide the medical equipment, instrumentation with the uncontaminated, you know, radioactive-free steel, basically. The other side of this is in the process, they're destroying a lot of graves and destroying a lot of remains of sailors who might be buried in there. So there's, you know, lots of issues surrounding this fairly complicated thing that all comes from wanting radiation-free steel.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. More jobs than expected were added to the economy last month. 275,000, according to the Labor Department's February jobs report.
Expected. The unemployment rate went up to 3.9%. The expectation was 3.7%.
Fox's Cheryl Cassone. Oil prices are steady as the market looks at this mixed jobs report. President Biden talked about his record on jobs during the State of the Union address last night.
15 million new jobs in just 3 years. A record. A record.
And Alabama Senator Katie Britt on the Republican response.
Just ask yourself, are you better off now than you were 3 years ago?
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3, 65 degrees. Cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. Well, questions continuing about the Lighthouse Christian Academy and the living arrangements for a group of international students.
To the best of my knowledge, their parents are not stateside. A lot of them have talked about their families in Brazil, FaceTiming their families. They don't want to get in trouble because they don't want to go back to where their family is at. It's multiple households like this.
That is the parent of a former student who talked with Channel 3, and according to their reporting, at least a portion of the students who were staying at that home on Refuge Circle in Midway now appear to have moved out after the initial Channel 3 report on Wednesday. Property records show that home was bought less than 3 months ago by Coconut Palm Real Estate, owned by Joanna Johannes. She's also the CEO and superintendent of the academy. A voicemail and email placed to the school's communications director by News Radio has not yet been returned. Well, work crews from the city of Pensacola spent some time yesterday making some needed safety improvements at an intersection that badly needs it. A guardrail was installed around the perimeter of a home. Reflective paint also added to a traffic island.
The guardrail will not cover where the last car went through. They can't go up that far because of fire hydrant and the light pole and some other things. But the city still needs to do something about that section. Not just for us, but for everybody. I don't want anybody to get killed there.
That is Patsy Taylor. And back in January, a car crashed into her home at the corner of Fairfield and 12th Avenue. And that's the fourth time that that's happened in just the last 10 years. The Florida Senate has unanimously passed a bill requiring the Department of Health to take immediate action when beach or public bathing waters aren't safe.
The DOH must issue health advisories within 24 hours in cases where the water quality of beach waters or public bathing places fail to meet the standards. They're also empowered to demand the closure, and that must stay in place until any advisories are lifted.
That is bill sponsor Lori Berman. She says it's important that residents and tourists know if our waters present any health risks, because she says lack of accountability has made headlines, and that would be bad for tourism. Well, the Pensacola Beach fishing pier should be reopened sooner rather than later.
That's tracking along pretty good. We're hoping by the end of the month and maybe the first or second week of April. Been tracking hard, working hard, so it's looking good, and so we're making good progress there.
And that is Escambia County Administrator Wes Moreno, who gave us that update this week. Repairs on the pier began in December. Some of the work being done includes repairs to the railing and the deck and installation of new viewing scopes, cameras, benches, fishing line receptacles, and of course, a new flagpole as well. It is 8:35 at News Radio 92.3.
Ish.
Ish, almost. Ish. And Jake's got to look at our traffic on the 5.
All right. I'm not seeing any accidents reported by FHP at the moment. No major slowdowns to tell you about. I-10 and I-110 are at posted speeds. Mobile Highway is clear through Beulah. Gulf Beach Highway not showing any delays. Looking good on Burgess and Olive. Looking good from 12th Avenue through to Palafox and W Street. Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace is clear. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre, east and westbound. We're looking good there. No delays to tell you about. And Cervantes is clear through the curve on Scenic Highway. If you see anything out there slowing you down on our roadways, you can always call or text our traffic tip line. That number is 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Mattress Firm. Spread the word. You can score bonus savings on better sleep during Mattress Firm's Friends and Family Sale. Hurry in to save up to $700 with your extra discount. Plus, get a free adjustable base on select beds. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Jake. Now our Channel 3 weather.
We are going to start the day off very cloudy. Temperatures warming up in the afternoon to 70 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms move in as we head into the late afternoon through the evening hours. A few storms could be strong. Overnight tonight, storms continue, low near 67. We'll have a few storms lingering into the early morning hours on Saturday. Once again, severe threat a possibility. High near 76 degrees on by Saturday afternoon. Low Saturday night near 52. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 64 in Pensacola, 63 in Gulf Breeze, 61 in Milton. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Yeah, I got you.
Sorry about that. That is my fault. Your money now this morning. Markets are opening a little bit higher today. The Dow is up. Just barely up to just over 2 points at 38,793.53. S&P 500 up 849 at 51,68.92. The NASDAQ up 67.09 at 16,340.47. And your 10-year bond rate not changed. It's at 4.09% today. Gold price is up $11.90 at 21,77.10. Silver prices not much of a change at all at 24,58. And the crypto market, Bitcoin, continues its rise. It's up another 6/20/11 today at 68,487. Job growth went up more than expected in February. According to the Labor Department, 275,000 jobs were added to the U.S. economy last month. The unemployment rate rose 0.2% to nearly 4% for February. United Airlines is slowing pilot hiring this spring. New hire classes halt in May and June, but they are expected to resume later this summer. The airline pausing hiring because of new aircraft certification issues at Boeing. And Apple now rolling out the latest update to its virtual reality operating system, Vision OS 1.1. The company says that update offers several new features, including improved user personas. Your next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Said a hip, the hip, you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's your opportunity to hear me be in a room with a couple of other people who are friends and who don't always agree with me. Sometimes they don't agree with me about anything, but that's okay. You can have conversations. I mean, that's kind of what the idea of a society and civil discourse is supposed to be about, is that we can talk with people that we don't see eye to eye. Today's a good example. I've got Mike Kimbrell here in studio. He is the director of the Alfred Washburn Center, a local homeless advocate who's I've known for a long time. Gosh, I don't remember how long, but about as long as we've lived here. Michael, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you very much.
All right, you got to get just a little closer to that mic. So
thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Perfect. And Josh Newby, of course, a longtime friend. We were in Leadership Pensacola together. He's the executive director of the Council on Aging of West Florida. And sometimes he doesn't agree with me either. Also, is that right?
I would say most of the time.
Did we disagree?
Yes.
Yeah, fair enough. There you go. And that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you can't be friends with people who disagree with me, it just means you're in love with yourself, because what you're seeing.
Which I am also in love with myself.
No, fair enough. I mean, yeah, you love the echo of you, which is narcissism. Right, so that's right. Not that healthy. Before we get into substance stuff, next weekend you've got the Kites on the Beach.
Yeah, that's right. Kites on the Coast.
I said Kites on the Beach.
Well, it's Kites on the Coast, Andrew. Disagreement has already begun. It is the Gulf Winds Credit Union Kites on the Coast, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This is the third year we've done it. Beautiful, huge kites flying at sunset. Hopefully the weather is great. It's a wonderful intergenerational opportunity to just really enjoy the beach in a unique way.
It's a very cool event.
Yes.
Third year?
That's right.
Third year. Okay. Let's get into a little bit of something. I'm just kind of curious, since I have two people who are on the other end of the spectrum from me politically. I've been talking about the State of the Union all morning. My short take is he showed that he can at least at times be high performing. And Katie Britt showed that she can be at least at times melodramatic. And, not more to say, but
yeah.
You watch it. What'd you think?
I did watch it. I've been Biden's biggest critic. I'm a stalwart Democrat, a bleeding heart liberal, but I have been his biggest critic. I think he showed up last night. I think your comments are accurate that with proper prep and proper rehearsal.
Pharmaceuticals they gave him.
He can turn it on when he needs to. It was more campaign rally-ish
Absolutely
than I was expecting. And I was particularly disheartened that he chastised the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
I thought that was inappropriate.
To their face.
That's
when
right.
they are not allowed to say anything
That's
back. Right.
Right. Yeah.
I thought the Republicans were out of line many times.
Yeah.
For heckling back.
I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah, but
on.
Not just her.
Yeah.
You know, lots of other people.
Yeah.
Michael, I don't know if you watched it, but
I did not. I was smart enough to go to bed early last night.
I envy
Gosh,
you.
Man. Seriously.
Yeah, I got 2 hours of sleep last night. So between
Lord.
Writing transgressors, watching the various meetings and Senate hearings and all this, and watching that speech, I am going to go home and crash.
Yeah, I don't
so,
blame you.
Mike, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about specifically is the new camping ordinance that's been passed. I think it's not been signed yet. And the short version of it is cities and municipalities are going to have to enforce the no camping on public lands, for example, streets, obviously, but sidewalks, paths, parks. But they also have to provide a space where they can go. It's not just to get out of here, but it has to be a go over there, which has to have services, security, theoretically, you know, running water, latrines, whatever. And then if people perceive them to not be enforcing the no camping or overnight sleeping ordinance, then they can have a cause of action against the city or the county to force them to do so. Businesses and or private persons have that right. To me, it's a weird ordinance. I don't know how it's going to flesh out. It's certainly going to cost money. I'm always optimistic about solving a problem, but I'm sure you have a view, and I wanted to ask you your view of it.
Well, so here we agree. This is a very strange law. I may have misinterpreted it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they have to provide campgrounds. I think they have the option to if they would like to, and then they can only exist for a year.
That's right.
And
I don't think there's a – it's kind of a weirdly written – it's not a mandate to have the campground, but there's –
there's mandates once you put in the campgrounds.
Maybe there is. I just don't remember. I thought there was a requirement that they couldn't enforce unless, because that's part of the Supreme Court ruling, right? Is the Oregon case kind of says that's going to get towards the Supreme Court that you can't kick people out unless
now.
You have space for them. And so I think that's the part of the law. And I apologize for being fuzzy on that part.
No, and I'm fuzzy on that too. It really is going to be how it's enforced and how and what that looks like. But then there's no. Funding mechanisms put in place for municipalities to do this. Mm-hmm. And then the real kicker is that whatever they do put in place cannot lower property values.
Right.
Which sounds like an impossibility to
right.
me.
Right.
You know, because that's all on perception. And currently our society's perception is that homelessness lowers my property values. And
right. So, I mean, look at your experiences with your neighbors at Satoshi Forest, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the perception. I guess naively what I was hoping is that if this goes into place, which I think it will, that the city and the county would finally have the kick in the pants basically to find a place where they can create a public camping opportunity for the homeless, which theoretically, instead of being in the swamp, instead of being behind on Brent and, you know, properties that are owned by other people, you know, instead of that, there would be some place. I'm not really clear why the 1 year limitation exists, because it seems like if you find a good place, why would you suddenly have to move it?
Right.
Before we get to Josh's thoughts, let's get a quick traffic on the fives from Jake.
I'm not seeing anything out there on the roadways to report. If you do see anything out there slowing us down, let me know on our traffic tip line. Call or text 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Josh, your thoughts about the camping requirement or the idea of this requirement?
Yeah, I mean, I largely defer to Michael. He's the expert, but it the unfunded part of it is right. What is frustrating to no end. And as we were talking before we came on air, originally a part of this bill was they were going to take continuum of care dollars in order to pay.
Tell people what that is because they may not know.
So Michael, why don't you explain continuum of care? You're probably better.
Yeah. So our continuum of care is basically supposed to be our community. Everyone that has got a vested interest in homelessness. So that ranges from law enforcement to activists and nonprofits, the county, the city, just everyone that has a vested interest in homelessness coming together. We have a lead organization, right, which currently is opening doors.
That's right.
I've been sitting on the governance of that and the re-governance of that. And they've recently shifted the meetings that I can't now make, but it appeared to be in complete shambles. We don't have a continuum right now.
That's right.
It took me a long time to really even feel like I had an understanding of the concept. Think of a hospital. Okay. Mm-hmm. And in a hospital, you have the ER and you have the surgery and you have recovery and you have long-term care and you have all that. Well, imagine if you had a hospital that was all devoted to services for the homeless, all the different kinds of services for the homeless. The continuum of care is the concept of having that entity. Now, obviously, it's not in a building that way, but it's as if you had this community services umbrella for all the different components that might affect homeless people. That's a continuum of care, and it has to be overseen by an agency. So right. they were going to pillage that money.
That's right. And it generally starts with opening doors. They're sort of to use your metaphor, sort of the triage mechanism. Okay. So they were going to pillory those dollars in order to fund this. I don't know what's worse, taking that money or just having an unfunded mandate, period. Right. But it speaks to the problem of housing, not only here, but nationwide.
And the theory, again, as I understand it, is partially to declutter public spaces where homeless people stay, and to prevent there from being impromptu camps like we see all over the country. And, you know, we do see some of that here, and to, you know, create a place where you could have it, basically. I assume that it's going to be inconvenient. You know, because obviously convenience is a major factor of life for the people who are homeless, and, you know, the inconvenience of it and just the logistics of running a safe camp. We know from experience that that's a hard thing to do, right?
It can be. But it also pushes homelessness off of public land onto private land. And so this is the government.
Well, it would be on public land.
The camp is public land. Yeah, but it's unrealistic because it also has to be drug and alcohol free.
You're
going to have a large group that cannot be on public land, won't go to these camps,
right,
and so they're going to go to private land, and they're going to be coming onto private citizens and businesses' property, which will then trigger the mechanism to sue the municipality, and so we'll probably see a heavy law enforcement presence on this, which, ends up criminalizing the problem, which is exactly what we don't want to do.
Right.
I feel like the county, Escambia County, has really been dragging its feet on either providing a low barrier shelter or providing an outdoor campground of some kind. You know, they nixed the one location because the commissioners didn't like the NIMBY effect of the neighbors, and I can't really argue with them about that. But find a location somewhere else, and it's always been high talk, let's do this, and no real doing of either one of those things. Is that where we're at, basically?
I mean, it's so much worse than that. I mean, like, the county's been sitting on, $4 million of ARPA funds that for, like, 5-6 years now? I mean, something like that? I mean, like, that Grover spent his portion of it.
Yeah, the city spent quick.
Yeah, and it's right, already gone, and the county's still sitting on it.
And the SHIP dollars.
Unutilized
SHIP dollars. I mean, lack of creative housing
solutions. Tell people
what
SHIP dollars are.
What does SHIP stand for? It's SHIPP. It's money from the federal government where you can take the county inventory of land, of free land, and essentially zone that, how you will, for creative housing solutions.
Okay. State Housing Initiatives Partnership Program.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So
Jake's got the fastest Google in this room. I love
so
it.
So the county is kicking the can on creative housing solutions.
Won't sign the tiny houses ordinance.
What's that?
Won't approve tiny houses.
That's
in the
right.
County.
As recommended by the Affordable Housing Advisory Committee, there's a document called Appendix Q that exists in the state of Florida that almost every other community in the state has adopted this slightly loosened regulation that would allow tiny homes in the county.
Including the city.
That's right.
The city already has them. I mean,
yeah, I'm working on a tiny house project in the city myself.
And I haven't been there, but the ones on Pace are up, I assume, by now, or they're in progress.
Jim Reeves is
the one that they annexed into the city.
That's right.
Right?
That's okay. Right. And imagine the amount of red tape and bureaucracy just to have some creative housing solutions. It's infuriating.
Yeah.
Okay. I had to kvetch there.
No, that's fair. That's why I wanted to bring it up, because I knew both of you, because of your work with the elderly and because of your work with the homeless, which are sometimes an overlapping category, obviously, but that you would both have a perspective on that, and that's why I wanted to bring it up. Jason Pizzo is a senator in Tallahassee. He's termed out, and he's probably my favorite Democrat, and he's a very articulate, he's a lawyer, he's trouble, he always asks the right inconvenient question, he always makes forceful points, he never says dumb things, not typically. So I enjoy him. I like people who disagree with me and are smart, because that makes me be honest about the thing. He gave a speech this week, he was talking about the passage of a condominium repair and maintenance reform bill that is going to cause people to have to pay more for their condo fees. Because now we're going to finally be forcing them to do a whole bunch of things we should have been doing all along. And part of what, had we been doing it, maybe the Surfside collapse wouldn't have happened.
Okay.
And he specifically said, he filed this bill 5 or 6 years ago. I forget. He filed it 5 years ago, a year after that, 4 years ago. Couldn't get anywhere because he's a Democrat.
Sure.
And eventually he went to a woman whose district is on the Florida-Georgia border and doesn't have any condos in her district and got her to put 2,000 hours worth of work into passing a bill to create condo reform. For people that aren't even in her district.
Yeah.
Because she's a Republican.
Sure.
She could get it passed. And he said, it took people dying and a Republican sponsor to get this bill passed. Partisanship killed people was his phrase.
Yeah.
But he went further than that. He said, there's been all kinds of bills over the years that he has come up with ideas, can't get anywhere, and somebody refiles it like protesting in front of somebody's house. That was his idea.
Mm-hmm.
And brings it back with a Republican, it gets passed. Don't pollute the waters with the balloons. That's now passed as a Republican bill. And he says, it's ridiculous that you all, with your supermajority, won't even listen to our good ideas. I have to, and I don't mind. If we get it done, we get it done. But I have to go through these channels in order to accomplish these results. And my take on this was, it's a really dangerous thing when anybody has too much power. And the Republicans in Tallahassee have too much power. And as a result, they do dumb things. Now, they do also smart things that I agree with. But when you don't have to bring the other side into the conversation ever, you do dumb things. The three-person majority block on the Escambia County Commission, they do a lot of good things. They do a lot of dumb things.
Right.
And so there's value in that minority voice having real power. We see that in city councils. We see all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was such an interesting, a powerful observation. And I just wanted, I've made it for him, but I want to give you a chance to react, because however you want to.
I mean, I think that's powerful, and we do a lot of statewide advocacy as part of our statewide network, and he's 100% right. You have to pitch certain ideas as having a conservative bent, as having a conservative benefit, and I have seen great bills die in committee, die on their first reading, in their first committee,
even get there,
or not even get heard, because of a Democrat.
Right.
You're absolutely right.
Or an amendment in committee that really makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, no, because it's a Democrat amendment. And I'm like, what are you doing? It's a win.
It's infuriating, and I feel like people, I mean, I know these people, especially our local delegation, they welcome disagreement.
Right.
They welcome conflict. So what is it about the system that disincentivizes conflict and worthwhile friction from moving forward?
What was the thing that Doug Broxson said? He said that the first year he was in the House, he didn't vote, I think it was for leadership, because that's an initial thing. He didn't vote for leadership the first time around because he's like, I don't even know these people. I don't know if they're going to be any good at this, because it's a weird system in the House where you elect the future speaker 6 years in advance. And he said, I declined to vote for it, and I didn't get a committee for several terms.
Yeah. You have to play the game.
That's disgusting.
But also the only way to change the dynamic is
to play the game to get the power to be able to affect the game. Michael?
No, I mean, I agree with y'all. I even see it like on a local level, like when we were being sued by the county for Shitoshi Forest, mm-hmm. I got much further by using my libertarian arguments than I did with like, you know, this is the right thing to do for people. It was like, but I have private property rights, don't I? And everyone's like, oh, well, yeah. Yeah. And, and so, you know, a lot of times I have to shift my talking points depending on, you know, who I'm talking to.
100%.
And by the way, I have seen more of that from the Democrats in Tallahassee recently. Anna Askamani, you know, talking about freedom and property rights and parental rights, which, you know, is not her native tongue.
Sure.
But that's what I think, you know, they're smart to do it. And they almost can't believe it when Republicans don't hear them. But, you know.
So much of governance, effective governance, is consensus building.
Right.
And when you have a super majority and a governor who did have a lot of clout on in the administrative levels,
right.
There's no incentive to build consensus.
Right. Yeah. And it leads to bad decisions and disaffected voters and constituents who feel like their voice doesn't matter, their issues don't matter. And, you know, you build a much better harmonious society when everybody at least feels heard, when they at least feel like their issues were taken into account.
I mean, you've got it, just briefly, you've got a commissioner in Santa Rosa County, James Calkins, who will proudly not hear a word from a Democrat.
Right.
Who's an expert in her field.
In her field? What?
Right.
Oh, from the Mac. I thought you were talking about James. Yes.
No. Well, no, that too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I said that very much at the time. We'll come back to this in just a second. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
That was a funny joke that you didn't even tell.
That's right. Great. No. I got too hung up on the transgressors where we were gender-based. So sorry. Go ahead, Jake.
All right. I'm not seeing anything on our roadways to tell you about. No accidents being reported by FHP at the moment. Looks like Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is flowing smoothly. I-10 and I-110 are at posted speeds. If you're coming out of Milton this morning on Highway 90, I'm not seeing anything slowing you down. Gulf Beach Highway not showing any delays, and Lily and Jackson Navy, New Warrington, all accident free on the west side. If you see anything out there slowing you down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Malcolm Young Jim, demolition. I agree with the legal analysis that they did not have any obligation to wait.
Right.
But I think it was bad politics. I think it's the same thing. As I think that they,
man,
it would have been magnanimous. It would have been more statesmanlike if they had said, "We're going to give you your 60 days to get the signatures and see what happens."
I was on your side. I really was for the duration of this thing. But I heard DC's comments on a rival radio station, and I think his point was well taken. That at what point does a small number of constituents have too much power and they can just keep stonewalling government? And that's not the way it's written in the charter.
And he said that, and there's value to that. Right. I agree. This was one of those cases where it seemed like enough people that maybe it was worth it. But, Michael?
I really don't have a dog in that fight.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, right. Honestly, like, you know, I don't know enough about the building. It's in an area that's, you know, being gentrified or pretty much already gentrified for the most part.
Right.
And they see dollar signs. I mean, like, I take
him at his word that we're going to see most likely affordable housing on there.
Yeah,
now,
sure.
What affordable means in downtown Pensacola is a bit.
There's a figure for affordable.
Right.
Yeah.
And I hope that.
I can't afford it, but. Like, yeah.
Subsidized housing because they own the land. I hope that turns out to be the case. Or at least I think that's the most likely outcome.
How many people was it? Do you have a ballpark?
I think they're up to 3,000 or 4,000 signatures.
I mean, but it didn't start that way.
Oh,
right?
No,
when this conversation started, it was
15 or 20 people.
Yeah.
I think it was 6 people in the, you know, the organizational.
So what's
kind of
what's
thing.
The line? You know, and
fair question.
Yeah, yeah, and I
you know
I take
me,
the
a small
point.
Group of loud people doesn't tell you what's going on
exactly.
in an entire community.
Exactly,
I agree with that as well. Yeah. So and again, I agreed with the demolition. I thought the demolition was the right choice.
Yeah.
Even though pretty much, you know, nobody really wanted to have to do that, but I thought that was the right choice. Mike Kimbrell, Josh Newby, the director of the Alfred Washburn Center and the Council on Aging West Florida, respectively. Thank
local
you so
talk
much,
in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.